A Grammy winner, a new ranking, and setting students up for great careers. It's all on Tennessee Tech Today this week. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director. Thanks for joining us here on Tennessee Tech Today, where we take an in-depth look at what's happening with students, faculty, staff, research, and events on campus. The Jake Hoot hysteria continues for the Tennessee Tech alum who won Season 17 of The Voice. Hoot will be playing the Grand Ole Opry on Tuesday, February 4th, after making a surprise appearance at Tech's open mic night this past Thursday. Hoot will join fellow country music sensations Dottie West and Rodney Atkins as Tennessee Tech alums to have played the Opry. Well, Jake Hoot isn't the only Tennessee Tech alumnus making news in the music business. Craig Terry has performed with the world's leading singers and instrumentalists since he graduated with a Bachelor of Music Education in 1996, but nothing compares to winning a Grammy Award. Terry is one of five people who won the Best Classical Solo Vocal Album Grammy, his first nomination and win, during the 62nd Annual Grammy Awards, which was held January 26th in Los Angeles. Terry said that he was shocked and that the adrenaline, excitement, and joy were nothing like he had ever experienced. He also said that both a nomination and an award were a complete surprise and a dream come true. Not only is he the pianist on the Grammy-winning album Songplay, but he arranged all of the music and served as musical director. Congratulations to Tech alum Craig Terry for winning a Grammy. Well, the College of Business received some good news recently. Tennessee Tech's online Master of Business Administration program is the top online MBA program for the military in the state of Tennessee and ranks 22nd in the nation, according to College Consensus. College Consensus looked at more than 570 distance MBA programs in the country. Only MBA programs offered 100% online were ranked, which is optimal for military personnel who often get relocated or deployed while enrolled in the program. Affordability, reputation, and convenience were also looked at. Tech's program also ranked as the top Tennessee program in the best online MBA majors for non-business majors. Well, when we come back, we'll be talking to Russ Kochenauer of the Center for Career Development. Stay with us.
More Tennesseans are turning to the state's best public university, Tennessee Tech. Tech produces bold, fearless, confident graduates who get an outstanding return on investment, who graduate with the least amount of debt in the South, who earn higher, early career salaries. Tennessee Tech, just like our state, is soaring to greater heights. Tech is Tennessee. To find out more, visit tntech.edu/techistn.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. I'm Buddy Pearson. The Center for Career Development connects students to employers by offering web resume referral, job posting resources, on-campus interviews, and the Cooperative Education Program. And here to tell us more about the Center for Career Development is the director, Russ Kochenauer. And Russ Kochenauer joins us here. And Russ, just tell us a little bit about how you came to Tennessee Tech. First of all, how did you find us and why Tennessee Tech?
Well, I had spent, Buddy, I had spent 10 years in the state of Tennessee, in East Tennessee, at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. And I took a position at the University of South Florida. It was an AVP position. It was a good position for me. So I went to Tampa and was down there. And my two boys go to school at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. When one of them graduated and got a job in East Tennessee, it pretty much looked like they were probably going to be staying in East Tennessee. And while my wife and I didn't want to be right on top of them, we found that being 9 hours away was something that we just didn't really like that well. So in the time that I spent at East Tennessee, in East Tennessee, I certainly knew of Tennessee Tech. Alice Carmuti and I were friends and colleagues. And so anyway, so my wife and I decided that, you know, maybe we would look at jobs. We weren't in a hurry, but we looked at jobs, and the tech job opened up. Lynn Haley retired, and I knew Lynn. I just applied for the job and wasn't sure I would get it, but I did. And so soon after that, we became residents of Cookeville, Tennessee, and started work at Tennessee Tech about 14 months ago.
Great.
It was October 1st of 2018.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like Cookeville, like Tennessee Tech?
Yes. After spending 4 years in Tampa, you know, everything down there is crazy growth and crazy traffic, and no matter where you go, you have to kind of plan your day around the traffic and whether something will be busy or not. And Cookeville has a much calmer pace of life. We love it because it's situated really halfway between Knoxville and Nashville, and we love Nashville. We love Knoxville. But we can go bite off as much of those two places as we want, and then we get to come back to Cookeville, where it's a little bit slower pace. So, yeah, we're enjoying it. I love the university. The folks here are super nice, and we have a really good brand of student. I love the kids that go to school here. They're just great kids. They're not entitled. They work hard. They're eager.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of those kids come off the farms, and, you know, they're not afraid to work hard and to earn, you know, what they get. And that's good for a career development office, to be perfectly honest with you.
So as the director of the Career Development Office, what is it that that you do, that you oversee, that you want to see happen with that office?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's fundamentals, buddy, that you like to see done, and those are pretty much dictated to us by the National Association of Colleges and Employers. But some things that you can do, some things that I think I bring, is I like for my office to have a sense of vibrancy. In other words, stuff is going on. And I think when I first came here, I sensed that was missing a little bit. You know, we're a little bit hidden away up here on the third floor of the RUC, and I'm chipping away at that, by the way. But so what you have to do is you have to get out across campus, and you have to make your services visible to students. And I think in some ways we've been able to accomplish that with our career readiness programs. We have a fabulous new program for employers called Careers and Coffee, and those are selling out. We built the schedule for spring, and it's already sold out.
Wow.
I already don't have any room for the rest of this semester. And that's really a design that is meant to put the employer and the student together, but in a casual, non-threatening type environment. The student doesn't have to have a suit.
Yeah.
They don't have to have a resume. The employer doesn't have to be on their best behavior, and they're serving coffee to students. And it creates this sort of way for them to communicate in a sort of a low-stress way. Now, we try to have those ahead of job fairs and things like that, because what we want to happen is to have the employer say, hey, by the way, you're a great candidate. Are you thinking about coming to the March 5th job fair?
Right.
And the student says, well, I am now.
Yeah.
You know, and the person says, well, we want you to stop by our table. I want you to meet some other people with our firm. So that's been a big success, and we're getting ready to start a similar type program called Employer in Residence. And basically what that is we take an employer, but instead of down in Swoops pouring coffee, we put them in a residence hall, and they do some type of professional training. And it works best when there's some type of learning community, like if it's all business students or if it's all engineering students. Then we bring the employer in, and, you know, they do resume writing or interview skills or the importance of getting experience outside the classroom. And again, it's taking our services, but where the student lives.
Yeah.
And I think if you do that enough over an extended period of time, all of a sudden your name recognition improves. And one final thing about that, because I think it's important. We've tried to change the culture about career development here at Tech. Career development is a fun thing when you really think about it. I mean, students should be engaged and having fun and trying things on for size and getting experience outside the classroom. That's not, you know, today's generation, they have trepidation towards their career, and they really shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think the mood, when you walk in our office, the mood now is more happy It's more fun. We greet students with enthusiasm and joke around with them a little bit. So I think that's catching on. I sense that that's catching on a little bit.
And, of course, one thing associated with the Career Development Office is the co-op program,
yes,
which is huge. Yes. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, cooperative education is kind of, you know, you can tell how old I am because I was getting ready to say the Cadillac of programs. I'm not sure Cadillac is the top of the line anymore. Maybe the Tesla.
The Tesla of
programs. But it is the program that embeds, really, a student in a workplace for an extended period of time. Now, Buddy, that can be, you know, it can be a semester, it can be 6 months, it can be 9 months, it can be a year. And in some rare cases, we even have students doing co-ops beyond a year. But this is truly where they are an employee. I mean, they are an employee, a resource person. They are right there with the company. They're learning skills. And typically these students are taking distance type classes at the same time. Mm-hmm. It does sometimes slow graduation down a little bit. In some cases it will. What we find is the connection that the student can make with the employer in about 70 to 75% of the time leads to a full-time job. In other words, the student stays with that company after graduation and segues right into a full-time job. And typically, if it doesn't work out that way, it's because the student elects not to work for the company. Not that the company doesn't want the student to come.
Oh, wow.
Yes, co-op, we did 150, we had 150 students take advantage of co-op last year, and that was 221 rotations.
Wow.
That means, you know, one co-op student might have done two rotations in a year. And I think that program's going to grow. I do. You know, we have more and more employers calling and asking about it. We probably inform 5 employers a week about the co-op program.
Mm-hmm.
So that says to me it's probably going to grow in the future.
Great.
So you've been here about 18 months. I'm sure you have your short-term goals and your long-term goals. What are some of those?
Well, across numerous things, one of the hot buttons in our profession now is career readiness, this whole career readiness thing. That's been a hot button since the recession of 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, wherever you want to cut it off. This whole concept of return on investment for college and are students ready to go to work and that sort of thing. So we focus on that a lot. I think what we have to do is we have to figure out a way to scale up the delivery of the career readiness program to a campus that has 10,000 students. You know, we're getting 150 students a semester to get their career readiness certification. You know, we'd like that number to be a lot higher. And probably what we're going to have to do is figure out a way to do that electronically somehow. Maybe embed it in some coursework would be what I would like to see. Now, that's something that doesn't happen overnight. That's something, you know, you have to chip away at over semesters, build relations with faculty, and show the value of the program. Show that students like the program, which so far they have. That would be one thing. We also want, one of the cool things about Tennessee Tech is that we're very balanced in our majors. Our College of Engineering has the most students in it. And I want to say, and I could be wrong about this, I want to say it's 22-23% of the student body is in engineering, and then, you know, our College of Business has like 16%. Our College of Education has, you know, 13%. So it's very balanced when you compare it to other institutions. What we would like to see is we would like to see the career piece. We would like to see more of our arts and sciences students and our humanities students and our nursing students even taking more advantage of the career piece in their education. And this isn't unique to tech. This is a common thing across higher education institutions. You know, we have a tendency to be perceived as an office that serves the College of Engineering and the College of Business. And while that's true, we value those relationships with those two colleges. We don't do that and ignore students from the other colleges. It's just we have to get the word out to those colleges and start getting into some of those classrooms and things like that. So I suppose in answer to your question, it would be more students utilizing career development services than we have now. And not just more students, but students from the some of the other majors and colleges across campus.
Okay. Russ Kochenauer, the director of the Center for Career Development, with us here on Tennessee Tech Today. Russ, anything else you want to add?
No, I would. Well, yes. I want to put a plug in for Tennessee Tech. We interact with a lot of employers, and that's what we do. Our phone rings. It's an employer. You know, they want information about our college. And one of the things that I've noticed since I've been here, and I've worked at four other universities in my 30-year career, is the brand of the Tennessee Tech student is very, very good. It is very good. I do not have to sell employers on Tennessee Tech. One of the best examples I have of that is Mercedes-Benz is coming to our March 5th engineering fair for the first time.
Wow.
And to show you how this works, part of it, about a year ago, we planted a seed in the Mercedes-Benz. This is out of Vance, Alabama. The Mercedes-Benz recruiter, we told him about the vehicle operations program that we were starting here at Tennessee Tech. And all I was doing was just planting the seed. I mean, we hadn't even started the program yet. We hadn't graduated one person out of it. And so he said, hey, you know, I'm not going to be able to come up and recruit this year, but keep me informed of that program. I'd like to know more about it. Of course, you know, we sent him all kinds of brochures and propaganda about the program, and lo and behold, they're going to be coming to the job fair on March 5th.
Wow.
And when I talked to him on the phone, he said that he had talked to other businesses, and all of them said what a good quality product, meaning student, that they get out of Tennessee Tech. And he said the vehicle operations program was one way to sell me on it, but when my colleagues were telling me that the product is really good coming out of Tech, I was sold on giving it a chance. So just glad to be here, and it's an honor, really, to serve as a sort of a broker for Tennessee Tech talent, because we've really got a good thing going.
Great. All right, Russ, thanks for being with us.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, buddy.
When the world is moving this fast, boldness is rewarded. At Tennessee Tech, we help you find your bold. We'll help you turn it into a career-ready education. That's Tennessee Tech. Bold futures begin here. tntech.edu/visit.
Well, the Tennessee Tech men's and women's basketball teams wrap up a four-game homestand against in-state rival Tennessee State on Saturday, February 1st. The Tech women's team has won 11 of their last 12 games and are tied for first place in the Ohio Valley Conference with Belmont and UT Martin, boasting an 8-1 mark in conference play and a 15-5 mark overall. The men, well, they're looking to climb up in the standings, currently tied for ninth with a 2-7 OVC record and a 5-17 overall mark. Saturday's doubleheader against TSU is Legends Night, and several former men's and women's players will be on hand, and you won't want to miss that. Joining us now to talk about basketball and spring sports is Tech Athletics Director Mark Wilson. And Tech Athletics Director Mark Wilson joins us now. Busy time of the year with basketball right in the heat of OVC races, and all of a sudden spring sports start popping up. But right now you're wrapping up a four-game home streak in basketball with Legends Night. And, man, it is so great to see all these players come back.
It is great to see players come back and have them reminisce about their days as student athletes at Tennessee Tech and hear the tales. And now that I've been here 16 years, I mean, the fish do get bigger, okay? I mean, it's just the games they had were greater now than they were 16 years ago, but it's fun to have. And it's just a great way for us to engage our alumni and have them come back and see what's going on currently in the programs. And I know they're very proud of the great work that Kim Roseman is doing and these student athletes in women's basketball, and they're all excited about John Pelfrey leading our men's team. And so I think it's going to be a great night tonight.
And you talk about the women's program. Kim Rosemont has certainly built a foundation here. 15-5, 8-1 the OVC, tough loss to Belmont, but the Golden Eagles right there at the top of the OVC standings like they were for so many years.
They are, and that's the expectations of women's basketball at Tennessee Tech, is to have a program like Marinell Metters and Bill Worrell built here and always be competing for Ohio Valley Conference championships. And that's the expectations we have with all 14 of our teams. And certainly Kim Roseman has done that. And I think as I look at the student-athletes in the program and still the young student-athletes we have, I think she's really building a really sustainable, highly sustainable program.
And you look at the man, John Pelfrey's come in. Man, what a resume he has, having been the head coach at South Alabama and Arkansas. Really trying to put his mark on this team, but it takes a while.
It does. I mean, he's taken a while to kind of implement his system and the things that he wants and the culture that he wants as part of the program. And that's always a part of year one for a new head coach. But his approach is so dynamite, and I can see the respect that he has from his student athletes. And I think they're playing together. And even though there's been, you know, a lot of tough losses this year, they're still working hard, and they never give up. And I think there's always opportunities for them to learn.
And there's one coach who just finished up his second year, of course, Dwayne Alexander with the football program, went from a 1-win season to a 6-win season. Big day coming up for him this week. It's signing day, and I'm sure there's a lot of excitement around the football program right now.
A tremendous amount of excitement, you know, with a 6-6 season and the growth and the culture that they've established in that program. And now early signing day went really well. Wait until Wednesday and you hear some of the young men that are signing, and they've selected us over some really prestigious programs, FCS and FBS programs. So he and Dwayne and his staff are doing a phenomenal job, and really looking forward to the 2020 season. And season tickets are on sale now. We just announced homecoming and family weekend date, so it is rapidly approaching, and looking forward to having a great fall in Tucker Stadium.
It's never too early to start talking about football, but we do have to start talking about the spring sports. And of course, when you think of spring sports, you think about that tennis program and what Kenny Doyle has done with that tennis program. 4 in a row, 4 consecutive OVC championships, trips to the NCAAs. Are we looking for a fifth this season?
Absolutely. That's the expectations. In the preseason, they were picked to share the league championship with Belmont, and we expect to beat Belmont, and we expect to win Ohio Valley Conference championships, go to the NCAAs again, and those are the expectations of the program. And Coach Dalton, the new track coach, is doing a dynamite job in indoor-outdoor track and cross-country. And, of course, Polk Brown, men's and women's golf, we expect both of them to compete for championships this spring. And I guess I can say the newly engaged Polk Brown, because he surprised his girlfriend, and now he's got a fiancé. Now that was a Thursday night's game against the Belmont at halftime of the men's game. And of course, we have to talk the other two new coaches that we have, along with Coach Dalton as spring sport coaches. Michelle DiPolo, the new softball coach, she brings a very analytical approach to the game. I love how smart she is, and I love what the feedback I'm getting from our student athletes, and looking forward to what she can do. And of course, this year will be establishing a culture in her program that she wants moving forward. And then the newest member of the Golden Eagle staff is head baseball coach Steve Smith, and the student athletes are telling me I've learned more intricacies of the game of baseball in his first 2 weeks coaching me than I've ever known. And so that just shows, I mean, you don't get 744, victories at Baylor without really knowing the game, really being able to recruit, really being able to connect with student athletes, have high expectations character-wise, educationally, and then baseball-wise. And I think our student athletes are really going to reap the benefits of his leadership.
So even though the baseball coach and the softball coach have come in, this is their first season, you still expect them to compete for OVC championships?
Absolutely. I mean, if we don't aspire to that, then what are we doing? I know the baseball student athletes, as part of the interview process, and since then, I mean, their minds are set going to Omaha, going to the College World Series. That is what their focus is on. And guess what? If you don't focus on that, you can't meet that. and you'll fall far short of what your abilities are. Right. So I appreciate that that is their goal. That's their goal of that team, is to make it to Omaha.
No. And when did the season open up?
Two weeks from yesterday.
Wow.
Yes, we host Evansville on Friday. I think it's Valentine's Day. It's Friday the 14th. Yeah. Does that sound right? Yes.
So they better remember that day.
Yeah, I better remember that day. Maybe I better go order Melanie some roses right now too, huh? While I'm thinking about it. But that opens the season, and excited for the 2020 baseball season to get underway and for these student athletes. And I appreciate how they have led as students through this transition.
And, of course, baseball, you go back to a couple of years, Matt Bragg's last year here with that run, winning a regional, going to the Super Regional, just a game away from the College World Series. Let's go to softball now. And the program has been competitive, but it hasn't been at that upper echelon that it was for several years under Torrey Atchison. What's it going to take to get it back there?
Key is always pitching in softball. And, you know, Coach DiPolo has to get some key pitching and improve the pitching that we have. I think that's her goal moving forward. And then of course, you have to have some hitting as well. But softball really seems to be the key to that is pitching. She has knowledge as a pitcher and as a pitching coach and as a head coach with her time at Army. So she knows how to get that done. But that's going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah. And when do they start up?
They start next weekend. Is their first tournament. So it's right here. Right here.
Baseball, softball, and then we still have several basketball games that's yet to be played. I know you're wrapping up a four-game homestand with TSU, in-state rival, love to beat the Tigers, but then they'll go on the road for a while, and then they'll come back home for some more home games.
Yeah, home games, and the really important games down the stretch, okay? You know, we're in a three-way tie for first place in women's basketball right now with Belmont and with UT Martin. We still have to play Belmont one more time at their place, UT Martin twice, including here. I think that might be on the 13th of February, maybe off the top of my head if I'm thinking right. We still have to play Southeast Missouri, which is the last home game of the season on the 22nd of February. That's an afternoon games, folks, so make note of that. That's 2 and 4 o'clock. So there's some great basketball he played. And the men's team, they're fighting. They're in a three-way tie for ninth right now, fighting to make the conference tournament. And I believe that with the improvement we've seen here over the last couple of weeks, they're going to make the tournament, and I think they can make a splash in the tournament.
Lots going on. How do you keep up with everything?
One moment at a time, buddy. One moment at a time. But I'm so blessed to serve Tennessee Tech and serve our community as the athletic director and serve our student athletes. And I think right now in my 16 years at Tennessee Tech, I think we have the best group overall of head coaches that we've had in my tenure here in terms of men and women with character, who recruit character, who are highly committed to academic success of our student athletes and graduating our student athletes, and can lead our teams to Ohio Valley Conference championships.
And you talk about graduating, of course, in December. You see those student athletes walk across the stage, get their diploma, and then just the other night recognizing all the ones that made the dean's list. And really, student comes before athlete, and that's why they call it a student athlete. So it's great to see those athletes be students.
It was. It was an all-time high for the students on the athletic director's honor roll with 241. Wow. And that means that there's 241 students in athletics that have above a 3.0 grade point average. And that's our goal. Our goal is to make sure that we have our departmental GPA is above a 3.0. We want all of our student athletes to strive to be above a 3.0. And of course, always reach their individual potential.
All right. Mark, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, buddy.
And that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech for today this week. Be sure to check out the T2 website at tntech.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, and confident. Wings up, everybody.